The NSU Playhouse invites you to a night of laughter and fun with five women wearing the same dress. The show, written by Alan Ball and directed by NSU's own Dr. Robin Pursley, revolves around five bridesmaids avoiding the bride who they all secretly dislike. Starring both current students and alum, the show will take place at 7:30 p.m. on April 10th through the 13th at the NSU Playhouse located in downtown Tahlequah. The show will also be the fourth Golden Llama competition presented by NSU Drama. Student organizations with the most members in attendance of the show will win the Golden Llama Trophy. Who will be the student organization with the most members in attendance? Purchase tickets for the show at nsuplayhouse.ludus.com. That's nsuplayhouse.ludus.com.
Hello, welcome to Hawk Talk, the Northeastern's official podcast. My name is Jaden Milton, and today I'm sitting down with Whitney Arbaugh, Director of Housing and Residential Life, and Darren Priest, Assistant Director of Residence Life, who are here to discuss housing. I just want to thank you both for taking the time to sit down and talk with me today, and let's find out a little bit about housing. So first, I kind of wanted to talk about what do you guys do on a daily basis? What's your job title? What are you doing?
Good question. So it really just kind of depends on the time of the year. Like right now, spring semester is fully going, so we are just, it's day-to-day operations for us, working with our current students that are here for any needs that they might have that might pop up, and programming, working with our residence halls, keeping things, you know, running safe and secure for our students. And then we're also doing a little bit of prep work to get started for recruitment events that actually start next weekend. So we'll live kind of between both worlds, recruiting new students to NSU and to live on campus, and then taking care of our current residents, and then prepping for summer as well.
Okay, and then Darren, what do you do?
So as the Assistant Director of Residence Life, I'm overseeing all the student staff, making sure they're staying on task and following up with any issues that may have come in. We get lots of questions, of course, through our housing at nsuok.edu, and I forward that on and work with our student staff in order to follow up on those things.
Okay. I also wanted to ask you guys, why do you think that students should live in the dorms? Why do you think they should start out living in the dorms?
I'll jump in. I'll tell you, I'm an NSU alum, and I can tell you why I decided to live here. Home's not too far from me. I would have been able to commute via the commuter policy, but I wanted an experience I hadn't had before. You know, having lived at home, going to high school in a small town, to me, Tahlequah was huge. And so I wanted to be able to live with my peers, and I wanted to just have an adult experience as far as, you know, living on my own and taking care of things and being responsible for myself, but in what I felt was a safe environment. And I was a part of TRIO as a college as a high school student. And our campus person, a coordinator, you know, that we talked to was really good at kind of explaining of what like campus life was here at NSU. And so I knew that if I didn't live on campus, I wouldn't probably get to have those experiences. And I was really excited because the options I thought were great. There was something for everybody, something for every budget. And so I just really wanted that experience. And we still, you know, almost 20 years later, provide that same experience for students. And we do our best to live up to that same expectation.
Okay. And I also wanted to ask, like, what are some of the steps that housing takes to create this safe environment for students?
I think we provide an opportunity for students to maybe exercise some individual responsibility when it comes to their own safety and security in our halls. And it's not like everything's locked down, everything's shut down, you can't have people over, anything like that. You know, we have an open, if you will, guest policy, meaning we don't have a check-in, check-out process for guests. We trust students to make the best judgment and have folks over that they know and that they trust. You know, we do have some things that have to, doors that have to remain locked. We have access things. We have all those very typical things that you would expect. But we add on to that by our residence life staff do rounds at different hours of the day. Maybe it's a security round and they're just checking to make sure things that are supposed to be, you know, locked and secured are locked. Other times it could be like a social round where they're just, what's everybody up to? What do I see? What's going on in the halls? Can they have some intentional interaction with students? And then other times they're just, you know, maintenance walkthroughs and things like that. So we do our best to constantly have our eyes on the building and the students within, and to address things when we see them. We'd rather, you know, see it and respond to it than it be reported to us. But we do also appreciate when things are reported to us. So we do that. And we work very closely with the University Police Department. If something does pop up, or if there is something to be, you know, watchful of or concerned, you know, even around town, or, you know, not just on campus, but what's going on in the area. And then we also work with facilities management on those maintenance issues that pop up. They're two of probably our biggest partners on anything related to, you know, safety or security in the halls.
I'd agree with Whitney. I was definitely looking forward to coming to college. I wanted to get the on-campus experience, and I think like many college students wanted to get away from my parents, just get some distance for a minute. Yeah. I'd been living in their house and following their rules for so long, and I was ready to go to college and kind of be on my own, experience that. So I think that the reason other students should come and live with us, I think that, you know, we provide a great experience on campus. We offer programming monthly. We also provide an overall support system for the residents that live in the residence halls. If they go through any type of crisis, even if they don't know that we're there, at some point, a resident's life student staff member is going to reach out to them, whether that's just to see how they're doing, whether that's to provide some type of support with something that they're going through, or direct them to an on-campus resource they didn't know existed. I think it provides a lot more than residents realize to live on campus and help them be successful while they're here as students.
And I kind of wanted to touch on a little bit more, like, how do you guys handle emergency situations? Because I know in the past you've had the pipes burst from the weather, or like we've had weather issues to where kids can't or students can't go outside. So how do you handle that?
Team effort. If it's big, like weather related problems, you know, we were working with several, you know, departments on campus to come up with a plan to keep an eye on, like if we have a problem area, like Cobb has had two big pipe issues with the Arctic kind of crazy weather that we've had in 21 and then in 22. So we worked together to just come up with a plan to keep an eye on those spaces. And that's team effort. A lot of man hours went into, you know, making sure we were safe and secure. But for the other things that occurred, you know, some of the things you just can't prevent, frozen pipes or a leak that happens or an HVAC issue, we work as a team. We get eyes on every issue that's reported to us and then respond appropriately. We spend 2 weeks in the fall and the week in the spring training our student staff, whether it be our RAs or our hall directors, to respond to these issues and what's appropriate. And then, of course, we report them to facilities maintenance. And it's not just about reporting it. We also stay on the issue and follow up with them to see the issue all the way through completion. We don't pass the buck per se, but there are some things we have to rely on their expertise for. So,
okay. And I did kind of want to touch on the RAs that you guys have, the residential assistants and the resident director. What is the process for that? How do you pick them? What's the training process like? I would like to really dive into that too.
Sure, of course. So we are about to start our academic hiring process for next academic year. It's a info session that we have students attend. Then they apply for the position, sign up for an interview time, come to their interview, provide examples of some of their work, things that we may ask out of them. And then once we do hiring, of course, like Whitney said, we have 2 weeks before school ever starts that students come and train. They do training and everything from, like she said, maintenance issues and concerns that could come up and how to respond to them appropriately, to emergency response. They learn how to use a fire extinguisher. They learn how to respond if there's a medical emergency. We work with campus police and all of our on-campus partners, HawkReach, in order to do training on different topics throughout that two-week period. So our application process is coming up in the next couple of weeks. We'll have flyers on campus. We'll send out emails to our on-campus residents that are already living with us to notify them that it's happening. We will do interviews before spring break. And then after spring, we come back from spring break, we'll notify those who receive or are offered a position.
Okay. And then I kind of wanted to touch on, like, what are some of the events or kind of competitions that you guys have?
So a lot of our student programming is, it's almost 100% guided, directed, planned, all put together by our student staff. So it can vary from year to year as to what you see. There are certain things that if we feel they are more traditional programs, like something that we see on or like to do on a regular basis from year to year, we'll suggest or ask our staff to jump in and help us with executing it. But a lot of times the things that come up are planned by them. I know we have one or two Black History trivia or events this month to learn about Black history. And then I know that they just got done having a mocktail event where one of the staffs made mocktails for their students that they could partake in that and socialize at the event. We're fixing to have an all-hall event that's going to be a birthday party for an SU. It'll be on March 6th, of course, right at the end of the day between 4 and 5 p.m. that we would like everybody to come out and join us for. We're going to have cake, of course, and activities to do and music. So that'll be a fun event as well.
We also, I'll add in too, we support campus programs that are going on too with a lot of those like partner organizations or anybody who reaches out to us. So right before spring break, we're also going to we'll have the event on March 6th. And literally the next week, staff will be involved in Safe Spring Break programming. It's a traditional programming we've had on campus for as long as I can remember, geared towards just making sure students educate themselves before they go and travel and go to some great places and have an well-earned good time. And so they'll jump in on that too. You know, we help with welcome week programs as well. Really, truly anything asked of us. If we've got the time, then we add it and we get involved. So
I also wanted to know, Whitney, I wanted to talk about the process for students to have emotional support animals or service animals. I just kind of want to know what the process is for that. And are there certain regulations they have to meet?
Yep, there is. We have them obviously on campus. We have actually quite a few. We have some really good pet owner, or they are animals, emotional support owners and pet owners on campus. So the process truly starts when a student self-identifies that need. They can identify that to our office. A lot of times it happens because they are in contact with the Student Disability Services, Marcy Mitchum from there. But truly it starts with them filling out one of those ADA requests. And it's a simple form, just who are you and what do you need and if you have any documentation already. And the students who are interested in that ESA process will meet with the Dean of Students, Dr. Self, and she'll work with them through the documentation process. And after that's done, they'll meet again with Marcy, or, you know, sometimes it's an email too, just to see if there's any other accommodations that are needed. And once they get through that, they have a quick meeting with me. And our Dean of Students and Student Disability Services have documented the student's need. Then they get to me, I'm more or less kind of documenting the animal. And I get to meet the student, meet the animal that they are bringing to campus, talk about some policies, talk about a couple of regulations, talk about, you know, where do we go to the restroom? How do we throw things away? And, you know, how do we keep our animals healthy while living in this environment? And then we talk about, you know, having conversations with roommates and stuff like that. I feel like I'm making it more simple just by talking about it, but it takes a little bit of time. Yeah, it takes a little bit of work to get that done. Yeah. And so the documentation is probably one of the sticky points for some students, because part of our practice with that is we want students to have a plan in place for why the ESA is the best route for them to deal or to work through, you know, whatever need that they have. And so they go through that process and then they're here with us. And so we don't limit ESAs to any one hall. We do it on a needs basis. So the student that is approved for an ESA, I work with them to make sure that they and the animal are living in the best environment possible. So we have them all over.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then I kind of wanted to know, kind of explain what the difference is between all the dorms, because I know that some dorms are just 2 bedrooms. I know some dorms are 4. So I kind of just wanted to know what the difference is between all of them.
Yeah. So we always say that we have 3 distinct types. So we have a traditional dorm style. So that's the one that maybe we're kind of used to probably seeing in TV movies and stuff like that, where it's two people live in a bedroom. And then there's a community style bathroom that would be Lozier, any of the wings in Lozier, or Wiley Hall. So that's our traditional hall setting where, again, like you said, roommate, you're living with other people, right? And then we have our suite style. So that would be more like Cobb or seminary suite. So in Cobb, it's 2 people to a bedroom. They have a bedroom next door to them with 2 other people. And then they kind of share common areas like a vanity, a bathroom, a toilet room and stuff like that. So 4 people to a bathroom, because bathrooms are very important about how much is being used. And so that's how that's split. And then seminary suites is folks who are really looking for that really private living style. So there's 2-bedroom and 4-bedroom options over there. So you get a private room, but in a 4-bedroom, you're sharing a bath. You get that living room set up and you get the kitchenette, so set up over there. And then our third option would be the courtside apartments. So we have 44 units over there, 2, 1, 2, and 3-bedroom option for junior, senior, or graduate level students, as well as students of any classification that might have a dependent that they have guardianship or have with them, or married couples as well. Okay. So all types of students at courtside.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to touch on that a little bit more. So does it matter what grades are in what places?
Oh, for each classifications? Yeah. Traditionally, freshmen will live in Lozier. We do have the three of the traditional sororities that are also there as well. Yeah. The football team has a floor in Lozier as well, but the rest of the residents are traditionally freshman students. Sometimes we get some late transfer students that end up in Lozier, or there's upper class students that really like Lozier, and so they get on the wait list for Lozier over the summer and end up there. Wiley's a good mix of upper class students and freshman students. Cobb is split right down the middle. One side is all freshmen. One side is all upper class students. So it's a perfect split down there. And then Seminary Suites is all upper class students. with the exception of some student athletes that belong to communities over there. We have a couple of what we call Riverhawk communities split up over there by sport. And so the athletic administrators and their coaching team builds those rosters and picks those students. And so there are occasionally freshmen on those rosters over there. And so they live over there. And then, like I said, courtside is junior, senior level, graduate students. And then if you're married, regardless of classification, and if you have a dependent or someone you have guardianship of, you can live over there.
Oh, okay. And then kind of what's the capacity of the dorms right now? Like, are they all full or are there a bunch of rooms open? What's kind of going on there?
I would love to say they're full. So capacity, so we can take, if everything was online and everything was perfect, we would have about 1,250 open spots for students to live on campus. But that's just not the case. We have a couple of areas of leisure that are offline right now that are getting a little bit of work done. Hopefully some more work. Just kind of depends on the state of finances for us on what extra work we can do. But overall, we average about 1,000 to 1,100 students per semester on campus. Now, seminary suites, full. Cobb, full. Courtside is, you know, like I said, we have 44 units, but there's like almost 70 folks that live in that area because of the different bedroom sizes. So those are usually full.
So it's more like Lozier, it's not
the... Yeah, Lozier and Wiley, just, yeah. It's not, you know, the popular, you know, piece to be. Everybody wants the more private spot, but yeah, so there are still openings there. So, but we sit right around that. Okay. Yeah.
And then I kind of wanted to ask about, I know there's those old dorms that we have. Are those like under y'all's purview or are they under like maintenance more?
So we still have access to them. We do a semester check on them, but they just belong to the university. So decisions as to what could happen or will happen to them are not up to us. It would be like a cabinet level, even administrative decision there. They have let us know, and they ask our opinion quite regularly about what we would want to see done over there. But I mean, we still have access. We still have some limited items over there that where there's nowhere to store, or there's not the best way to get, you know, we don't want to take them to a landfill or anything like that. So they're stored in that building over there for now. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Whitney and Darren, it was great talking with you guys today. Thank you for coming in. I really enjoyed talking and learning more about housing. Thanks for listening to the Hawk Talk podcast. You can find us at nsunews.com, Spotify, or follow our social media pages at TNE News on Instagram and Twitter, and the Northeastern on Facebook for the latest NSU news.
Santec Screening is your one-stop shop for all types of custom products. Santec is a third-generation, woman-owned screen printing, embroidery, engraving, and vinyl company. We are TERRA certified and licensed to print for Northeastern State University and Oklahoma State University. T-shirts, hoodies, sweatshirts, embroidered and patched hats, uniforms, beanies, tote bags, duffel bags, towels, engraved tumblers, ink pens, keychains, trophies, plaques, and more. If you or your business, student organization, or department need it, Santec can print it. Conveniently located in downtown Tahlequah since 1984. Call 918-458-0312 or stop by and see us at 120 North Water Avenue.